You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I don't know what the word, I want to use the word experiences. Every opportunity, every experience we can get him or expose him to will create a better version of him. I think anytime anybody experiences something for the first time, right, you handle it better the next time and the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. And, you know, you talk about like any situation, right? That whether it's a good throw, a bad throw, a decision to run, a decision to throw it away, whatever, all of those are learning experiences. And Andrew's done a great job with him making sure that every single time these opportunities are created, we like dial into it and we create an opportunity and a learning moment in that room. So I think that's the experiences that he's getting are invaluable. That's why, you know, the mentioning of him not playing is, I mean, it's not realistic unless we felt like he was in harm's way for some reason. I think, you know, like when he was injured before.
That's Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator yesterday. And can we put that sort of theme to bed, this idea of not playing Justin Fields?
It's so ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just so ridiculous.
It's so funny that it's usually it's the team trying to protect a player, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. There's some contingent of fans trying to protect him, or maybe the bad draft pick or whatever. You're going to get a good draft pick.
Right.
You're going to get the good draft pick no matter what.
No matter what. That's just the reality of where you're at right now. Yeah, for sure.
So it's amazing. I mean, there's the offensive coordinator saying we need to expose him to all situations.
Yes.
So
that is true. It's factual what he said.
Yes. So if you're listening to us right now and you think Fields should sit, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. No, he should not. He should not be sitting. He needs the experience. He needs to learn and feel what December football feels like. They expect a playoff atmosphere in Detroit this weekend. This is a Lions team that is like risen from the depths, and they are competing for something.
But let's play Trevor Siemian.
Right. Like, why would we do that?
I don't know.
Why would anyone want to do that?
No idea. I don't get it. The few calls that I've heard this, you know, call into this station about it have made no sense to me.
Right.
He could get injured for the offseason. Oh, give me a break.
It's fine. He will be fine.
Exactly.
He will be, his toughness has been proven again and again and again. He will be fine.
And if you get injured, that's the time to get injured so you can heal in the offseason.
Right. Like, he'll be fine. All the way around, he'll be fine. What do you think of this Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren
I was going to ask you that. I mean, look, we are not experts in this field because all these things that a president does, I can't tell. He seems qualified. He seems qualified. So he checks enough boxes on the surface from a business standpoint, from a football decision making. Like, remember, somebody without a pure football background has to make a decision at some level on every team.
Okay, so,
an owner who has no background has to make a decision. And if he hires a president, he has to make the decision.
Well, I don't know what Ted Phillips' total resume was before he got his current position, but I can tell you that Kevin Warren has a lot of years in the NFL, 20 to be exact. I did not know that. He was a longtime executive for the Vikings. He was there for 15 years, almost 15 years, and he was there when they built their new stadium. He helped them with the practice facility. Like, I didn't know all that stuff.
Which is exactly
the sort of stuff that they need up in the household. What the Bears need.
Yeah,
because they need...
But he also would be the guy that would hire and fire the GM, right?
Right.
And stuff, which, again, at some point, but then the owner will have to hire or fire Kevin Warren, you know? Like,
right.
And the owner doesn't know him much about football. He admits that. He's a fan like the rest of us.
Right.
But that's the way this thing works. Tom Ricketts eventually has to make a decision on Crane Kenny and Jed Hoyer, right? But Tom Ricketts doesn't have, but you hope owners over time gleam enough information to make a solid decision.
It's the first name we've heard, right? I think that's why it gained so much press yesterday. Yeah. It's the first name that we've heard because, you know, when Phillips announced that he was going to retire after this season, it was kind of like, okay, we knew that was coming. But now that we're reaching the end of the season, it's nice to see that they've made a wise choice in an interview anyway. I mean, in at least entertaining this. This sounds like a good, solid candidate.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we can ask our listeners, 312-332-3776, if they have a thought about Kevin Warren. But I imagine they probably don't have a lot to say, because, like, what, I don't, like, who knows a lot about Kevin Warren's.
Right. I don't know.
I mean, maybe up in Minnesota they know. But, yeah. Like, how can you make an informed decision about a position you're not exactly sure, and you know, a guy that has to make business decisions and football decisions? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It sounds like he's qualified, but I don't know for sure.
I mean, you don't become commissioner of the Big Ten by accident. Like,
right.
That's a very hard job. And he's done well with it in, you know. But it was interesting yesterday, because the article comes out and then both the Bears and the Big Ten have to make some sort of statement to kind of back it up. And also, he's, you know, has two teams in the college football playoff tomorrow. Like, he's,
yeah, I mean, he has a high profile job. So I think he had to respond.
You know? They had to respond. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. What do you think the job it's obviously a promotion. It's a different. It's not lateral.
It's not lateral. No.
It's promotion, right? To president of the Bears.
Right.
I guess my point being is, if you're an assistant coach and you're interviewing for a head coach, that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, you're moving up the ladder.
Yes.
This is a little unusual, which is why I think he had to address it. You're the commissioner of the Big Ten interviewing for the presidency of the Bears. It's I don't know what it's called. Is it a lateral move, a promotion? What is it exactly?
I would think it's a promotion just because the NFL is king, because it's the most popular sports league in the world. I would think that would be a promotion.
But he doesn't have some assistant job, is my point.
Correct.
You know,
no,
he has a big-time job.
He's basically a president right now, right? Like, you would, as commissioner of the Big Ten, yeah.
Right. So I think that's why he had to come out and say something.
I want one of those jobs. It would be so cool to be like, you're the Madam Commissioner. That would be really cool.
You'd be good at it.
Would I?
And, but
we
look,
just said we don't know exactly what they do. I don't know if I'd be good at it.
The next move is the University of Tokyo is going to be in the Big Ten by the time this thing is done. I mean, he just got UCLA and USC, which, with my daughter going to Iowa, I know my first road game is going to be.
Of course.
Okay? It's not going to be Purdue. It's not going to be Purdue.
Right. Now, don't knock West Lafayette.
Sorry.
Come on.
Well, okay, compared to L.A.?
No comparison.
But, so I guess people are giving credit for, I don't know, but us older people kind of like the Big Ten just being the Big Ten, I think.
I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I loved the Big Ten.
It's hard to get my arms around USC
and UCLA. Yeah, correct.
Definitely. 312-332-3776. All right. New Year's resolutions for your significant other. You want me to go first?
Yes.
You do, don't you?
I do.
Give you the level of, because really this is about, this is a one way of saying, what's your complaint about your spouse?
It's a very passive aggressive way of saying.
I'll give you an easy one. Honey, New Year's resolution, at least in January, can you try falling asleep without the TV on?
Oh.
I don't need that brightness and the Friends is playing in my head as I'm trying to go to sleep. That's her go to sleep show.
I like her already.
Yeah.
Yes,
can we turn off the TV? She's like, only creepy people go to sleep in silence and in the dark. And I said, really? I think that's most everybody in the world.
She's right. That feels weird to me. I can't do that either. I mean, I don't have the TV on because my husband can't stand it either. I listen to something.
That's what she
on my phone under my
do.
Pillow. Yeah, that's
so you need the same thing.
I need something.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we got to ask that question. Is that a common phenomenon among wives in particular, women in particular?
It's like my version of white noise. Like, I just need something to, like, distract me.
I don't mind having it on as you're kind of falling asleep, and then boom. But I'll click it off, and then boom, I'm gone. But I don't like it's in the background.
It's so
there.
Bright. I know. But Friends is one of my fall asleep shows too.
So January, honey, TV
just
off.
Just for January.
Just for January. Then maybe she's
never
used
know.
To it.
Yeah, maybe you'll.
It's like I'm training a baby here.
21 days to is it 21 days that becomes a habit?
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
We're gonna go with that. So 3 weeks, honey. 3 weeks. Try it. TV off. Dark, that's good, right?
Yeah.
So creepy people only sleep in silence and dark. I'm like, well, then
you
I'm
like
creepy.
You like it pitch dark?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You have, like, black
I don't have any of that. I do put a pillow over my head when the TV's on, though. I do make a fort around me. All right, go. Your turn.
Gosh. Oh, my
your
gosh. Turn. It's my turn. Okay. So one of them would be to, my dear husband, can we finish a project? I call him all the time. I said, you're 85%. Like, it'll all get done, but nothing gets put away, or it's like, I did it halfway, or I did it and then like walks away. I was like, wait, but you left the leaf blower out. Like, why did we put it away? Why did we? So I'm just asking to complete a project.
That is a legitimate one. And again, a common one, I think, because my wife would say the exact same thing. First of all, she would say, why don't you start the project I asked
you
to start?
Also that. But then when he does, it's like, I tell him all the time, it's 85%. We got a solid 85%.
I'll do something like, you know, I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher, but I'll leave one in the sink.
Right.
She hates that.
Yes.
The coffee cup's left. Why not just put that one?
I know.
And I'm like, I'll get it next time.
Yeah. I know. Always. It's always 85%.
All right. So we got this. Finish a project. And go to bed with the TV off and the lights off.
The other thing I want to say quickly is that I would really love if he would listen the first time. Because often he says to me, he's like, this would have been nice to know. I was like, no, dude, I did tell you. I did say it.
For me, my wife will say, I'll perk up midway through, and she'll say, oh, it just got interesting.
I'm going to use that line.
Yeah. Oh, it just got interesting. Because maybe she had said something about, I don't know, something that got interesting.
Right.
I can't give an example, but that's the line. Oh, it just got interesting.
I'm going to use that line.
Yeah.
That's great. Because he's looking at his phone. I'm like, are you listening? Yes. And then later I'll say, but I told you this. And he's like, you didn't tell me that.
This is wonderful marriage therapy without our significant others. Right. This is beautiful.
With them not chiming in, this is awesome.
Well, they're free to call 312-332-3776, the number, New Year's resolution for your significant other. You better edit yourself, though, if you're calling in. Watch us on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, ESPN1000 Chicago. Next hour. I need help with my Hall of Fame ballot.
I'm so excited about
which is due in the mail today. I'm going right to the post office. I got to fill this ballot out. I'm going to hold it up for the Twitch viewers. Here it is. I'm going to go through the names.
I expected it to look more official than that.
I know. I have some questions. We're not going to sit here and debate players left or right. That'll get boring quickly. But it's more about ideas. The steroid guys, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I want to get into all of that with you and our listeners. I truly need some help on some of this. And then, boom, I gotta check the boxes and put in the mail. We'll do all that, continue on the Bears and some Bulls conversation. Jesse Rogers and Dion Miller. This is The Bald and the Beautiful till 10 o'clock on ESPN 1000. That's why I say
amen. Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why.
It's shot or no shot every day on the Cap and Jay Hood Show. The guys will be back next week. We do it at 8 a.m. And even though they're not here, we're going to do it anyway. Our man Jake is on the call there, filling in for Shay. When's Shay back? Next week?
Yeah, probably next week.
Okay, just checking.
Everybody's enjoying a little vacation.
Exactly. All right, Jake, fire away. What do you got?
All right, well, first of all, Shot or No Shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Register at Club Hawthorne now for a chance to win $12,000 cash on January 1st. Let's get this out of the way. The horse.
Secretariat. The greatest athlete ever. Take that.
Love it. Let's jump right into it. Let's start off with the Bulls today.
Okay.
Obviously, we saw on Wednesday night another altercation between Grayson Allen, right? Mm-hmm. DeRozan was shoved down by Allen, and it caused some stir up within the game. So shot or no shot, Grayson Allen is on the Chicago's Mount Rushmore of most disliked rival athletes.
Oh, shot.
I like that question.
I like that, too. I would say shot. Is it current? Mount Rushmore? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the recency bias thing.
I know.
I mean, if I did, I'd say yes.
Yes.
If I just was thinking recent memory, yes. Like, I can't think, did anybody slam Fields down?
No, I don't think he has any.
The guy in Green Bay that did it to McMahon back in the day, was that?
So is Aaron Rodgers on the Mount Rushmore?
Of hated? Yeah, I own Chicago.
Yeah, he would be.
I own you guys. Grayson Allen.
He's up there.
I mean, I don't know if I'd put him all time. But if you want to talk about the last half decade or something,
I'm trying to think.
I'll go shot too.
Like, would the Pistons Bad Boys, one of those, be on there?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going all time, Isaiah Thomas would probably be on there. Yeah, that's not a bad question.
That's a good
for our
question
for all time. I don't know if I'd put Grayson Allen all time quite yet.
I think it's a shot, though. I think there's a shot at it.
I'd go recent memory.
Okay.
Because this is Chicago. We've had some villains.
Right, but I mean, he injured Alex Caruso, took him out last year when the Bulls needed him.
All right, give us a second here. Let's think of every sport. All right, basketball. You want to go Isaiah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For Isaiah. Football. Would it be Charles Martin? Is that who slammed McMahon down? I think so. God, it's been forever. Look that up. Charles Martin slamming McMahon. But that was. I mean, Charles Martin isn't a well known.
No.
Is there more evil Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers, okay. More than Brett Favre, right?
Yeah, because Brett Favre never said, "I own you, Chicago."
Right, yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers for football. Let's see, Cubs or Sox enemies. I mean, Cubs have a million of them.
Yeah.
But like Pujols, like if you're just great against the Cubs, it doesn't count. Like you have to be like
a villain.
Like, Eric Schau beamed Andre Dawson back in the day. Yeah. So, but he, that's just a one moment. Like, is there a.
Like a most hated?
Most hated villainous Cubs opponent or White Sox opponent. I'm sure we're not thinking of them.
I know we're not because it's not season with them. But
so Isaiah, Aaron Rodgers, who else?
I don't know.
We'll have to go. We'll have to think about it.
Anyone Maybe in hockey?
We'll ask our listeners. Oh, God. The Vancouver Canuck. Yeah. You know, the Sedin twins.
Oh, the Sedin twins.
But there's even worse than them. But we can go way back in hockey. Dino Cicerelli. I mean, there's a lot of them in hockey, to be honest. The old Red Wings, the old North Stars, all those battles
against the Blackhawks.
Yeah. There's a lot in hockey, to be honest, because that sport sort of lends itself
to them. To a goon, yeah.
We can ask. Mount Rushmore of hated Chicago villains. 312-332-3776.
He's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation. In the team photos, we like to say. All right.
Maybe not on Mount Rushmore, but.
We both said shot. Jake, what do you got?
All righty. Let's go to the Bears. Chase Claypool was spotted practicing yesterday on a limited basis, of course. He's battled a knee injury and adjusting to the Bears' offensive playbook this year. And plus the wide receiver core has already been diminished. So shot or no shot, if anyone should be shut down for the last two games, it should be Claypool.
No shot. He needs to play. He needs to play. He is fully aware of the pressure on him right now and that people think this was not a good trade and that he has brought nothing to the table. And he said yesterday to us, he's like, I know it was a good trade. I know I recognize how high that draft pick was that they let go. But he said, I know what I can do and I can bring to this offense. And he's hoping his knee responds well to what the limited stuff he did yesterday, because the Bears need him and they need him to look like he was a wise investment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Shot. No shot. If he's a little banged up for the last two games, he's got the whole offseason to get better. Yeah, he'll be fine. And plenty of time to get better and connect with Fields in the offseason. Yeah. So if he's healthy enough to play and try to find a connection with him these last couple games. If he's feeling that pressure and knows it, get open. Alleviate the pressure.
Just show that you can be a top receiver, because that's what he felt he was in Pittsburgh and didn't get the opportunity to be that. Now he has the chance to do that right here.
All I know is Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields. You've got a shot with a guy that's got an arm.
Right, yes.
You know, this could be a deep threat.
He could be a deep threat. And I mean, I saw him yesterday in practice. I know it was limited. And the times that we saw him, there was like no defense or whatever. But he didn't appear limited to me, to my amateur eye. He did not.
So we say no shot at shutting him down, Jake.
Cool. All right. Shannon Sharp sat down with Deion Sanders on his podcast, Club Shay Shay, last week. He asked Sanders which sport was the hardest to play. Here's what Sanders had to say real quick.
What was the hardest?
Baseball.
You told me the hardest thing to do is hit that ball, man.
That ball does some things to you.
Any sport that you could fail 7 out of 10 times and become
great, say great, you're great.
And make $200-300 million in it, that's a hard sport.
Right. What made you want to decide to stick with baseball, even though you had this great football career?
The challenge, man. I love challenges, and I could not master it. And it frustrated me because I hate to lose, and I hate not mastering something that I know. If I just had more time, I could.
Shot or no shot, Sanders is right, and out of all the sports, baseball is the hardest to play.
Shot. Yeah, shot. I'm going to really get ridiculed for this, Deion, but I'm going to do it anyway. So in high school, I went out for football my senior year only. Only year I ever played organized football was my senior year. And I made the team, and I played. Do you think you could not play organized baseball then play it your senior year and make varsity and play?
No.
And I wasn't even anything. My point is, I was a receiver. I ran, I caught the ball. It's not that hard to go out and make it if you have a little bit of talent. Baseball takes skill that is developed over years and years and years. I couldn't just go out for baseball after playing Sandlot unless you're just a special talent. I played Sandlot football. I made varsity football my senior year. I'm just using that as an example. Like, it's possible. You can't do that in baseball. It's too much of a skilled sport. It's so, he's right.
I would say he's right. Although, like, watching my son, who has been, you know, in T-ball and baseball for years, you know, still struggle, of course, but pick up the game of hockey at a later age is very challenging. It challenges him. That also takes a lot of skill and to do. But I would say baseball is definitely the hardest sport.
No doubt. If he can, the better he can skate, the better he'll be.
Of course.
Let's start with that. You'll get to the stick handling, but if you can whiz by people, you're gonna do just fine in hockey. I mean, be an expert skater. The rest will come.
Okay. I'll tell him that.
That's it. Just skate.
That boy is, I mean, he loves hockey so much. So
I played all these sports as a kid.
Yeah.
Hockey was the most fun to play.
Yeah. It's the most fun. And it's hard because baseball is so much slower. And he does both. And I think they're both valuable to do. But he loves the constant movement.
Yeah. I think that's the easy answer there. Everybody plays. If you're on a hockey, not everybody plays on a baseball
team.
That's
true. Yeah.
A lot of standing around. Not everybody plays on a football team. Everybody that's on the hockey bench plays.
Yeah, that's true. This is an excellent segue into what we're going to talk about with your Hall of Fame ballot. Excellent.
It is. Why?
About how hard baseball is.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And the greatest challenge. Why?
And it wasn't sure.
Follow along,
it's
Jess,
also
follow
hard
along.
To vote for these guys. That's
right. Right. But it is
difficult.
So hard.
Yeah.
And like he said, you can fail 7 out of 10 times and still be the greatest in the game.
Jake, you got another one, or are we good?
Yeah, let's do one more. Let's do an impromptu one, because it's the theme of today. The Bold and the Beautiful aired on March 23rd, 1987.
Wow.
And it's still running. Yeah, 1987. So shot or no shot, The Bold and the Beautiful will outlive us and keep running until past
when I thought you were going to shot or no shot Jesse had hair back in 1987, which would disqualify. In 87, yes, Dion, I had hair back then. I had hair. So we could not call this show The Bald and the Beautiful back in 87. Will it outlive us, so to speak?
I want to say there's a shot. This is a really long, that's a lot of seasons. And how long has Days of Our Lives been on the air, Jake?
I think it's on its 58th season right now.
58 seasons. And General Hospital has to be right up there, too. I mean, it's possible it could outlive us.
Are Luke and Laura still on General? That's the only thing I remember.
Laura is. I know she is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, my God.
She's still on.
Wasn't that the biggest thing when we were young?
Oh, Luke and Laura. Yes. Yeah. They were the biggest thing. I'm going to have to look this up. Now I'm on a mission.
So I'm definitely saying shot. It's a half-hour show.
Right.
If it was an hour show, might disappear. But, you know, unless, I don't know, I was going to say, like, Drew Barrymore. Picking some random person has some talk show during the day. I think Drew Barrymore got canceled. But, 12:30 to 1 in Chicago. That'll outlast us.
I mean, General Hospital is in their 60th season.
Oh my God.
So yes, I would say there's a shot.
And Days is right behind it?
Yeah, Days is right behind it.
Interesting.
Right? Remember All My Children? I loved that one too.
All My Children. Obviously, The Bold and the Beautiful.
Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless.
That was a CBS one, too.
Oh, I actually read this when I was looking up The Bold and the Beautiful was the Young and the Restless spinoff.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the spinoff.
Yeah.
So the Young and the Restless is out, right?
Yes.
But the spinoff survived.
Yeah, Young and the Restless is out. It's so great. It's so great. I mean, I watched As the World Turns, One Life to Live.
Oh, my God.
Anyone, like,
Dynasty, Dallas, the nighttime ones.
No, I was not allowed to watch those. But I wasn't
Falcon Crest was that one?
Falcon Crest was one. I wasn't allowed to watch the soap operas during the day. My sister and I would, like, sneak them. We would tape them on VHS, and then we'd watch them later. You know?
Right. That's so funny.
I know.
All right. Thanks. That's a good shot or no shot from
great,
Jake. Good job. 312-332-3776. The number, if you want to chime in, the Mount Rushmore of villains and more specifically, does Grayson Allen belong on it? I mean, he doesn't for right now in this moment, but for all time, I'm not sure he's quite there yet. We'll discuss it with you. And also, I want to get through my Hall of Fame ballot. I'll explain it when we come back. It's due today, so I need some help right here on ESPN 1000.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
This microphone would help. They do it every Friday. E1 on the Cap and Jay Hood, the Friday Folder. Jake's here for it. Dion, Jesse with you till 10. What's up, Jake?
Friday, I want to start. I believe this story broke earlier in the week. Terrell Owens, T.O., 49-year-old pro football Hall of Famer receiver, reportedly in contact with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Now, you can just kind of throw that out, and it's whatever, right? And it was reported later that they couldn't come together on an agreement based on contract details. He was seeking more money, which could be, you know, throwing that out there. But is there really a chance that he would come back?
No. No way.
No way. I don't think so either.
No way.
I mean, I think there's a chance.
I
say no.
Because
he's that, like, kind of crazy.
Yeah, right. He might want to come back.
He's that edge of crazy. I just don't know. If he's going to... He wants more money.
Right. That's crazy
Dude,
in itself.
What?
You take the minimum.
He's how old?
Right. What'd you say? How old?
49 years old.
Yeah.
No,
how are you negotiating
not.
A higher
how
contract than the minimum?
Where? Yeah, and you've been out of the league for how long? Like, you have no space to be asking for more money.
So
yeah.
It says here he recently ran a 4.5 40-yard dash, which was his quote-unquote warm-up.
Jeez, according to him.
So why not take the minimum and show everybody you can do it? What, he's asking for more money? Are there teams banging down his door?
No.
Come on.
No.
No, I don't think he's coming back, Jake. Come on.
All righty. Twitter users not happy after learning the plural form of Cheez-Its. We had the Cheez-It Bowl yesterday where Oklahoma played Florida State. Florida State taking that. But the biggest thing came out of how to use and say Cheez-It. So reportedly,
what?
Cheez-Its, it's referred to, if you have one Cheez-It, it's just a Cheez-It.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear yourself right now?
Yeah,
okay.
But it's not, multiple Cheez-Its are not Cheez-Its. It's Cheez-It crackers. That's the right way to say it.
Oh, so the crackers is the plural.
Multiple, yeah, it's a plural form.
No, they're Cheez-Its. No?
I don't like any sentence that starts with Twitter wasn't happy with. I really
Correct.
Don't.
Correct.
That is not a cross-section of human beings.
No, I agreed. But I did notice that it was trending, and I'm like, what is that about? You have to call them Cheez-It crackers? I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's not Cheez-Its. It's Cheez-It crackers.
If someone said Cheez-Its to me, I would understand what they were saying.
Yes.
I would take that as... And who only has one cracker anyway of anything?
Especially of Cheez-Its.
If you're eating one, it's a Cheez-It. But if you had multiple in your hands, then it's...
Cheez-Its.
Yeah, Cheez-It crackers. It's a little mini deal breaker we have here.
But if Dion says to me, I'm having some Cheez-Its, I recognize that as plural. So I don't care what the official thing is. I understand
I'm sure
what
people
she'd
were
be
like,
saying.
Don't tell me what to call my crackers.
Exactly.
Cheez-Its are good.
Twitter not happy with. Oh, my God. There's my resolution. I never want to use that phrase in 2023.
I would like to make one of my resolutions to be to not be on social media like one full week of every month or something. Somehow detox from
this
negativity.
You got it. What else, Jake?
All righty. And yesterday we heard the news of Pele, the Brazilian soccer legend, and he's passing at 82 years old, which kind of shocked the whole world. And, you know, in a couple weeks after the World Cup occurred, Pele most famously said, I was born to play football just like Beethoven was born to write music and Michelangelo was born to paint. So dead at 82, Pele, and we remember him. Sorry, I got somber. yesterday in his passing.
Well, I mean, when we were kids, that was a name, right? That
was still
like Gretzky in hockey, Pele was soccer, right?
I'm
not sure I knew he was still around. Like,
I don't know that I did either.
He, like, maybe he was sick, but you would think he'd be at the World Cup or something. So maybe he was ill, but I didn't know that he was around. In fact, I thought he was older than 82.
I would have thought so too.
But when we were kids, that was
the name.
He
was the name. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And the bicycle kick. That's what I think.
Yeah,
of
course.
Pele.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Three-time World Cup winner, too.
Yeah, three-time World Cup. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do.
Messi's one time, right?
Yeah, one time.
Only time, yeah.
Messi's not retiring. He wants to defend this title, I guess.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He said he's not leaving the national team.
Good for him. He dominated, so why not?
I know.
What else, Jake?
All right. Did y'all fly Southwest?
No.
I have.
I know people
do.
That did. That were involved.
I did not. I was not involved in the chaos. Yeah.
They had 15,700 flights since December 22nd, so before the holidays and leading in to the New Year's here, that were canceled. 15,000.
If we could sort of do a group thing here and punish them, do it.
Do it.
Don't fly Southwest. And I didn't even take it. I wasn't. At the very least, if you were impacted by this, don't buy another Southwest ticket. Show them that the consumer has to come first.
Do you know I bought a Southwest ticket, then I saw all this crazy. Like, I bought one, and it was like the next day that all these flights were canceled.
Good for you.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I forgot my stepson was supposed to fly from St. Louis to Florida. Had to drive. So, yeah, he had to drive. Instead of a two-hour flight, 2 days.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Go. Yep.
I think, too, the biggest fear is, right, like people checking in your bag. And that was just a whole nother storm of trying to find
goodness.
Your bag.
Yeah.
They had, rooms filled of thousands of bags.
Yes.
And people were just having to go through hours and hours of trying to find their own, you know, luggage tag and whatnot. So I never check in my bag. I will always just have a carry-on. I will never go through that trouble.
Jake, when I was doing sidelines for Big Ten Network, one of my producers said to me, for these trips, when you're gone, like Friday to Sunday or whatever, never, ever separate yourself from your luggage. And I try to make that like a habit because that is one of my biggest fears, is things getting lost. It's also such a frustrating feeling when you're in an airport and you're stuck. I mean, it is like, I can't even, scratch my eyes out. Like at that point I'd be like, just forget it.
Especially the holidays when it's vacation. Oh, you're stuck because of work. Okay.
Right. But you're stuck because you're trying to go see your family for Christmas.
And
no.
They better not try to squirm out of refunds. They better not.
I don't see. Southwest has always been such an accommodating airline. Out of your way. They've always been great with customer service. Always, always, always. That's why this feels so weird that this happened.
Well, apparently they have antiquated scheduling systems or something like that. So maybe they go cheap on pricing, you know, in a good way. And good on customer service in other ways, but cheap on schedule. Like it comes from somewhere.
It comes from somewhere.
None of these airlines are great at everything, right?
No, that is true.
So if I was impacted, I would.
But there are some that have that reputation.
Like, if you're the CEO, how are you not fired? If you're not in charge of scheduling or computers or IT,
somebody
how are
you should not have fired? Lost their job over this. For sure. And I hate to say that, but it's true. Like this, you can't come back from that.
No.
I mean, people are going to remember that.
If my vacation, international, work hard all year long. I'm not
for
talking
that
about me.
Moment, right?
You better get your refund, and someone's head better roll.
Yeah, and I better get on that vacation whenever I want to, at no cost to me.
At no cost, exactly. I mean, they need to lose millions and feel it in making up to their customers.
Yes. I feel like they will, like,
based on
what I know of Southwest. Now some, like I was saying, some airlines just have that reputation, right? Like, when I fly American, I'm almost always prepared for a delay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it goes in cycles.
Yeah.
When I fly United, the internet never works. I know first world problems.
Right.
But don't advertise you have internet if it never works.
It's funny you say that, Jesse, because last time I flew United, I somehow hacked the internet, and I got free internet for the full 4 hours.
No way.
Well, I was streaming stuff.
When we get off the air, tell me how you did that.
Yeah, how did you do that?
I don't know, actually.
Hacked the internet. Jeez.
Well, I use the word hacked because I want to feel like I was a hacker doing it, but like, I really don't know how it actually happened.
That's interesting.
Pretty awesome. Oh, I've gotten several refunds for internet I paid for that.
Yeah.
Never,
well, fine. I'm fine with the refund, but I wanted it to work.
I know.
And honestly, I've flown enough. American internet almost never goes out.
Okay.
So, United, I might fly American now for work.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, there should be a consequence to your malpractice, right?
Right.
Southwest better feel it. And I never fly Southwest because I fly O'Hare, and they really don't fly a lot out of there. So I'm no dog in this hunt, but you know what? They should pay the price.
They should pay the price. That was awful. I hope that everyone who was stuck in that nonsense is safely wherever they want to
exactly.
be right now.
And your luggage.
And you have your luggage, right.
Cap and Jay Hood, Cut of the Day coming up next, sponsored by Chicago Cut, right here on ESPN 1000.